Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
I've traded wearing a cross for spoons. I used to wear them because of my children, thinking about mothering and about roles that I have as a parent. But the spoons around my neck have increasingly become a symbol for me of my faith. I still believe in the power of the cross, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so don't worry. I believe that we have stories to hear and to tell about the power of the cross in our lives. But the cross is also a sign of torture and terror. Jesus gave himself willingly over to death, living unapologetically for a vision of the world that was and is based on grace and forgiveness and welcome and love. And I am on the hunt for the resurrected Jesus. I am searching for the one who shows up in all of the things that he taught about. I am looking for the one who shows up at tables of shared meals and in the hungry, in the feeding of the hungry, and in listening to strangers. As we live into this Easter season, I keep thinking about the stories where Jesus shows up for his disciples, telling them not to be scared, or beginning with, "Peace be with you," and then asking for something to eat. Or where they are gathered at meals behind locked doors, and he shows up out of nowhere and breaks bread with them. Or when they are fishing, and he encourages them to try again, and they catch a whole bunch of fish, and then he says, "Are you hungry?" And here tonight, in the book of Acts, we have another story about food through the vision of Peter. Pushing against rules that would have separated us one from another, God speaks to him and says, "Get up and kill and eat." And Peter says, "I have never broken the rules about food." But God seems to be showing Peter another way of building community. I'm not much of a dream interpreter, and I know that dreams can sometimes take funny shapes, but this white sheet with food that goes up and down in Peter's dreams seems to be speaking to Peter, and he is listening, paying attention to what he believes God might be saying to him. And also, we have to be really careful here, because I do not think that this passage encourages us to judge the food rules of another culture or faith tradition. I do not think that God is telling Peter that keeping kosher is no longer acceptable as a way of honoring God, or that we should be trying to change or judge them. I do not believe that is what this is about. But I think that it might point us as Christians towards a way of being that seeks to help us to make our tables a place of welcome and hospitality. We have lived for too long in this faith of ours, assuming that everyone else had to convert to our particular way of being, as if we could all agree on what that way was. There are various expressions of Christianity all over the place. Some of you have come from very different traditions than the one you find yourself seated in tonight. We do seem to agree that Jesus Christ came to us on earth as an image bearer of God, as a prophet, as a Messiah, as a Savior. Yes. And we have variations on a theme in our interpretation of what this means for each of us. Even in this room, I think some interesting conversations could be sparked on who Jesus was alone, never mind by what he said or what he did, or what he says or what we think he says we should do. And I love that. I love that we would have those conversations. I want us to have those conversations. It is important for us to think deeply about our faith and about what Scripture says to us and about how we are to live out our lives today in response to what Scripture says. I want us to struggle and argue and wonder together. I want us to wrestle with the Word of God. And that is some of what the space following the sermon is about. I don't assume that I have the last word, nor should I, nor should you. We are in an evolving conversation about this faith of ours. It began even while Jesus was alive. Think back to the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus is in conversation with his disciples and he says to them, "Who do you say that I am? And who do people say that I am?" And Simon Peter replies, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Absolutely," we say. "Now what? And what do we mean by that?" Well, now we keep the conversation going. Now we seek to live into the hospitality that was shown to us by Jesus, who shows up again and again at tables and in meals and in the sharing of the abundance that we have. I've just completed reading Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Holy Envy, in which she talks about her experience of teaching a Religion 101 course and how learning about other faith traditions helped to deepen her faith in her own. She talks about how learning about the tradition and prayer of others at first had her wanting to adopt some of those practices into her own, but that as she continued to learn and to watch her students learn, she began to notice how other expressions of faith deepened her understanding of what we have in the Christian tradition. Not so that she could convert anyone, but rather it seems to have allowed her to come to a place of making space for others in a way that is genuine and true. Not wanting to become something else or wanting someone else to become what she is. And I wonder if there's an invitation in that for us. How might we deepen our faith and our own understanding of who God calls us to be through the teachings of Jesus Christ so that we are making space for others rather than trying to convince them that they have to be just like us? It feels like we are living in a time when there are some really loud and dominant voices that conversion and control and making less space for divergent voices feels like a theme. And so I want to make a case for hospitality that is rooted in our teaching of Christian scripture. I do not want to let go of the cross, but I want us to remember that it was used as a symbol of torture and control. It crosses lined the streets as you entered Roman cities to show what happened to people who chose to defy the power of the day. And Jesus gave himself over willingly and did not submit, nor did he allow his teachings to change for fear of what would happen to him. Rather, he continued to speak out, and he kept showing up at tables. Tonight, in Acts, we have a story about Peter's vision of shared food, of hospitality. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us, he says. And the reading ends with, they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. I want to encourage us to think about what that says to us today in this time and this place. How do we continue to make space for each other and stand against teachings and doctrines that would have us do the opposite? What does it look like for us as a community to continue to take a stand for people rather than against one another? So for rather than against. We will continue to affirm our stance for the LGBTQ2S people. We will continue to make space for the voices of women and their experience in the world. And I hope that we can continue to be a place that takes seriously the calls to action put out by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We have conversation at tables. When we share meals together, we have the opportunity to look at each other. The same way we have to look at one another when we share the bread and wine as we stand in a circle up in the chancel. My hope is that we will continue to notice each other, to try to see one another. I pray that we will hear the invitation for us as one of hospitality and welcome. So I have chosen as a symbol for my faith, spoons. I want to be reminded of the depth of hospitality that I believe my faith in Jesus Christ shows me and pushes me to offer. I want to remember the call to feed the hungry. I want to think about the imagery that Peter offers to us in this reading tonight about sitting at meals with those other than ourselves. I want to remember the life-giving opportunity that we have in repentance, that we can repent, we can remember where we got it wrong before and how we might work to make things better now, and then go and do it, because that is what leads us to life. Not digging in where we are, but being open to the possibility that we might not have been right. Our assumptions might have been wrong. And then going from there in a way that deepens our love for one another and does not pit us against each other. And we do that by having opportunities to be in conversation with one another where we can listen and be heard, share food and be served, and listen for what God might be saying to each of us through the voices of the people around us, in our dreams, in our prayers, and through Jesus Christ, who is risen and is with us now. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.